Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nationals Review Podcast, the official podcast of thenationalsreview.com. My name is Colm, and as always, there's no I in the word podcast, so I bring you the heart and soul of the Nationals Review, Mr. Charles Fliegel.
Hello, Mr. Colm. How are you doing this evening?
We're back in an off-season episode.
I feel like the season is starting.
It does feel like that.
Jason Worth is being interviewed in the Washington Post.
He's taking pictures with red backdrops.
He seems kind of like a clown.
Have you seen all those pictures? Because they do all their, pictures for the, what is that, for the Titantron, whatever it's called.
The Titantron.
I've been looking. They had a whole bunch of those pictures on. It's cool that they let them actually, do different poses.
Yeah, they have, 18 or 19 poses that they can do. I don't know. You know, when Worth got here, he was, surly. He reminded me of Randy Johnson in New York.
Yep.
I think he was just pissed because he got paid all this money and he sucked his first year. And since then, he's been,
a leader? Dare I say?
Dare I say? He's been, one of my favorite players.
Yeah.
When they interview him. Obviously, you have your favorite players for the way they play on the field. And then you have your favorite players for the way they talk to the media. Guys like Denard Span and stuff like that are just awesome. Publicly.
Right.
Worth is kind of turning into being awesome publicly.
I couldn't agree with you more. I love that he's really mentoring Harper a lot, which is great.
Yeah. Maybe teaching him about warning tracks and what they're used
for. But we're back. We're here.
Yeah, we are.
Do you have a beverage?
I do. I have a New Belgium Triple or Tripel.
Oh. One of my favorites. Very hoppy.
Very hot. It's got some, I probably have said this on the podcast 50 times, that Belgian taste that I don't know what it's from. But it's not just hops. There's a Belgian beer taste. And it's got it in spades.
It does.
It's all right. I bought a six-pack of it. I'm not having a problem drinking it. Not all at once. What do you have?
Well, we've had a lot of cold weather. But today, we actually had some beautifully nice warm weather. So when the warm weather comes, so does the Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Mike's Hard Lemonade, you're acting like it's July already.
Already. Yes, I really enjoy those.
You have to figure out how to get us a sponsorship.
Oh, I wish. The official beer of thenationalreview.com.
It's your official beer. How about it can be the official... what do they call those? They're not beers.
Malt beverage? Is that what it's called,
I guess? I think so, which is different than malt liquor.
Right. Malt beverage.
Yeah, that can be the official malt beverage of the...
Nationals Review.
The Nationals Review. A favorite of my father-in-law, by the way. He always made sure to have a Mike's Hard lemonade or limeade in the fridge for the summer times.
Yeah. But they have so many different ones. There was a mango one. Now they've got diet versions. I tried to go the diet route. It just didn't do it for me. So
I've only tried the lemonade and the lime. And while I told you before, it's not my favorite. I don't mind putting one down in the summertime.
Right, right.
When it's a high of 58, though, it's a little more questionable for me.
That's right. We're going to have a great weekend of in the 60s, I hear, too.
Really?
So there's going to be a lot of mics.
Yeah. Well, good.
So we're here.
Pitchers
and catchers have already been to Florida, and now we're slowly seeing some. Oh, is everyone there now officially? I guess so, yeah.
I think today, right? Little by little, but camp started.
I know Bryce is there. I've seen pictures. I know Ryan Zimmerman, I think, showed up today.
Worth is there.
They're really good. We're going to probably have games next week, right? Exhibitions.
They start early this year. They do. They start next week, the last week in February this year.
Wow. See, when the Olympics end, you have right into the spring training.
I'll tell you right now, I'm pulling up the Grapefruit League master schedule. Mm-hmm. And on February 28th, Washington plays the Mets.
Wow.
So that is...
It's next Friday.
Next Friday.
Wow.
In a week.
A week from tomorrow.
By the time people listen to this, it will be a week from today, more or less.
Wow. That's true. That is 100% true. So We basically, I said, hey, what are we going to talk about? Or actually, you said, hey, what are we going to talk about? And I said, hey, what are we going to talk about?
We have nothing to talk about. No, so, there are a few things.
Yeah, there are a few things that you brought up.
I mean, we could talk about how Jason Wirth was saying that Adam LaRoche's beard is longer than his, and yes. So he's going to trim it. But we could also talk about the Jose Lobaton acquisition.
Yes.
What do you think about it?
We have Suzuki gone? Is that what's going on
That's
there?
It. I mean, the backup catchers before Lobaton showed up were Jonathan Solano. Sorry,
who we've seen.
Let me say that correctly. He's Venezuelan, so I'm guessing.
I think that's he's not Venezuelan. Solano's Colombian. The other three are.
That's right.
You're
right. So the other one is Sandy Leon.
Correct.
Leon. So it's actually interesting because Ramos and Lobaton and Leon are all Venezuelan and Solano's all Colombian. So. Really taking care of the northern part of South America there.
Switch hitter.
Yeah, so he's obvious. I mean, neither of those two guys, Leon or Solano, were much of a hitter. And I don't know that either of them are truly, like, great defensive catchers. I don't know that they're bad. I just don't know that either of them has a reputation of being, like, a spectacular defensive guy. The last guy we really had like that, like a no-hit all-defense guy, was Nieves.
Correct.
Totally so correct. They got a guy that is probably just as good as defense as them, and he's a switch hitter that has a decent bat. Now, traditionally, he's a switch hitter, but he's basically been more like a lot of light hitting guys that are right-handed and told to learn how to switch hit. He's better from the right side. Although last year he wasn't, but statistically over his history, he has been. So, you know, keep that in mind that maybe he'll start a little bit against some lefties rather than putting him out there against righties, I guess.
How many games do you see him base? Let's say all things go great with Ramos. He has a healthy year. Are we looking at 50 games, 60 games?
Yeah, I mean, if all things go really well with Ramos, you would hope that – I mean, how many did – Ramos was hurt. I think his high was his first year – or I guess his second year, but his rookie year, where he only was like in 110 games or so. Mm-hmm. And he was obviously hurt almost all of 12. He was hurt for a decent amount of 2013. So I don't think they'd try and give him more than 120 games.
Right. That sounds about right.
Which is pretty
that's
standard.
That's actually on the high end, in my opinion.
Yeah, for a catcher, I mean, that's pretty standard. So,
right.
I mean, that leaves 40. Maybe 50 games for Lobaton. So you hope he shows up. Because, I mean, my take on the trade was when I first heard it was just Carnes for Lobaton, I was not thrilled because I thought.
Really? Well, even though Carnes is pretty much, we've seen what we can get from him. He's what, in his mid-20s?
Yeah, he's in his mid-20s. He's got a pretty good fastball.
Right.
He is. All right, so here's my take on it.
Okay.
Carnes, probably not anything more than – I mean, the Nats have four excellent starters plus Detweiler, plus they have Taylor Jordan and Ohlendorf.
Right.
I mean, they're not going to be – they don't need Carnes. My take was not about Carnes. My disappointment was more about I wondered if they could get more.
Correct. Okay.
So my initial reaction was like, oh, all you got was a – kind of light-hitting catcher who's a better hitter than he is. That's what his reputation is as a hitter. Now, I say light-hitting. He's got some amount of power.
Yeah, let's see what his split. What has he got here?
I mean, he's not like
career stats. Yeah, he hits about – right here he only has 9 total home runs in the majors. But, I mean,
yeah,
he hasn't really played a lot.
But, you know, he's
looks like his most at bats ever were 277, so that's a really small sample size.
Right. If he hits well, I think he could probably slug close to like 375, which is better than a lot of the other guys are going to be doing. So
yeah, that's true.
For a catcher, he's not. I mean, for a baseball player, he's light hitting, but for a catcher, he's not awful.
Right. True.
He's nothing special, and so it was kind of like, is that the best you could get? But first of all, then I looked around and I was like, yeah. you can blame them for not picking anybody else up in the meantime, mm-hmm. but there isn't much better to get.
Right.
And so they got one of the best they could, which I appreciate that fact. And then they got a couple guys in with them, and that made me happy.
Do you know anything about these two guys that they got?
Yeah, so they got two guys that were actually – so they were both – so one of them's name is Rivero.
Felipe.
Felipe Rivero.
Correct.
And the other one is Vettelson.
Drew.
True.
Who's an outfielder, which I'm always happy when we get outfielders.
Yeah. Yep. So they were actually both in Baseball Prospectus's top 10 prospect list for Tampa Bay last year.
Interesting.
So they were both top 10 last year, and they both fell off the list this year.
Huh.
And in this year's version, Jason Parks, who writes the BP top 10 list, didn't really talk about them. He just said they were having developmental years.
Okay.
So what does that mean? I mean, it means they're both young. They're both 22. They both didn't have great years, but developmental could have been because they were trying to teach Rivero another pitch or they're, you know, I don't really know what that means. They had, another word for developmental years could be disappointing years,
mm-hmm.
but I'm okay with that because they got two guys that were considered top 10 prospects. Last year, Vettelson, so Keith Law actually wrote about him in his chat last week when the trade happened, and he said that Vettelson is a potential everyday corner outfielder.
Really?
Right?
Okay.
He said that, you know, he didn't hit in a great hitter's park last year, so he might have more power than it looks by his stats.
Mm-hmm.
He had an under 400 slugging, but that he's above average hitter. His power, we don't really know about yet. He's got a really good arm. But to say that somebody could be a potential everyday corner outfielder, which is, I mean, Law picks his words carefully, not a star outfielder. But
which we don't need.
But starting.
Right.
That's pretty impressive.
It's pretty impressive. You probably agree. We probably won't even see him this year, right? He's just going to be in the system.
No, I would doubt. I mean, 23 okay. years old and yeah. not developed. Toolsy guy that's not developed yet.
Right.
You know, he seems to me like a. You know, the way he was described in last year's prospect list was he was like a five-tool player where none of the tools were great.
Gotcha.
You know, like.
So he's well-rounded, like, but nothing excels.
Right. But if you're well-rounded enough and you can do everything at a major league level, you become a good player.
Right.
Okay. So he's good. I think Rivero's a little lower on the list. Rivero. He has a really good fastball. It's like a low 90s fastball. And I think Parks, the word he used was jumpy, which to me means
no control.
No, well, I don't know if it's, yeah. I think,
or does that mean a lot of movement?
I think there's some movement, but he also did have control issues this year.
Okay.
But look, if you get a guy for a throw in, you know, it's like if they end up with Rivero as a middle reliever and he's a successful middle reliever. For this trade and the trade works out to the point where, like, even if Carnes pitches well for the Rays, if Lobatone's a decent backup and all they end up in addition is with an actual middle reliever that they feel comfortable using, that's great.
Yeah, it's true.
So my take on the trade turned around when I saw that they got these two guys and I saw what people were saying about them. So in the end, I think it's a good trade. I mean, not like you're sitting there going, wow, Rizzo really stole something. But if these guys end up developing in a few years, you could say that.
Well, I love it. When I first saw the trade, I knew that we had just Sandy and Solano or Leon and Solano as our backup. And with Ramos, I mean, not healthy, we needed like a Suzuki guy who's going to come in and fill in and get an RBI when we need it. So hopefully that's what he does.
And yeah.
If he does that, I'm happy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, don't embarrass yourself out there, and that'll be good enough for now.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's the perfect way to put it. So that was like our big acquisition. That happened a couple – was that last week?
Yep, just a week ago.
Okay.
So speaking of not embarrassing yourselves, Danny Espinosa is back in the conversation.
Yeah. Can you believe it?
Well, they're talking about two things, and one I actually don't believe, which is a competition at second base. So, honestly, I mean, I wrote about this. I do not believe there's an actual competition for second base.
No.
I think this is a case of a whole bunch of guys that have to write something every day that are down in Vieira and games aren't being played yet and there's no competitions for any jobs. And so they're writing about this. But do you think Rendon, is there like any chance other than an injury that Rendon's not going to be the starting second baseman?
No way. I mean, the guy has a full year on under his belt now, too. I mean, this is the year where he can step up, too, and basically be like, I'm your second baseman for the next 10 years.
Right. Now, there were some interesting other, you know, storylines from this, which is like Espinoza's fighting for the backup job.
Right.
And if he does, I mean.
And who's he going? Is he going against that guy Walters? Is that who he's?
You know, Zach Walters is young.
Right.
I guess, you know, although maybe for this team he's not that young. But because how old is Danny Espinosa, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And Zach Walters is 24. Danny Espinosa is probably a year older than
right,
him.
Right, he's probably 25.
Espinosa is 26. Oh, so
there you go. Same thing.
I guess Walters isn't that young. But Walters, I mean, so he's a shortstop, and he can play short, which is good because you want your backup infielder to play short. Espinosa can play short too.
Right.
But, I mean, I've always been of the mindset that Espinosa is probably the best fielding infielder on the team over Desmond. Now,
right.
I would
said
not
that many times. That's right.
I would not advocate moving Desmond at this point. I think he's done well enough that you don't want to move him, but Walters has a serious lack of on-base percentage in the minor leagues.
Oh.
286 was his on-base last year.
Ah, that's awful.
But he hit 29 home runs.
So he has power.
Serious power. So there could be a spot for him, but, I mean, I just don't know. That power's been there for a couple years, but last year was kind of crazy. So I don't know if you want to even bring him up. Like Espinosa, you figure he can sit on the bench for 4 or 5 days and then you put him in.
Right, right.
Walters, you might if Espinosa and Walters look similar in spring, you might want to let Walters sit in the minors and keep hitting and impress other people and get him every day at bats and maybe trade him.
Right. So that's really the competition, but that's the players really to watch this spring.
Jamie Carroll got a minor league invite.
I remember when we drafted him, didn't we?
Well, no, I don't think we drafted him. He was on the 2005 debut Nats.
That's right.
You know, Washington team. So he's coming back.
What about Cabernas? Isn't he like a utility, I can play any position on the field type of guy?
I don't know if they've sort of turned Cabernas into an outfielder at this point or tried to.
Right.
I don't think Cabernas can win the job. I think Carroll could. I hope he doesn't. I don't think that does what they need. Well, you know,
no,
I don't think that's good for the team. The thing about Carroll is I don't know that you'd want to actually put Carroll at short. And, like, do you really expect Desmond to play 162 games? Even if he's healthy, you don't want him to play 162 games.
No.
And so who's going to play shortstop when he sits?
I like Danny Espinosa.
Well, that's why I like Espinosa or Walters, I guess. But I have my doubts that Walters would truly be in the competition for the job.
Right.
I mean, I think if all goes well.
Now, could Rendon play short and then?
No, I don't think so.
No,
I think he's stretching it at second.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's my take. I mean, what do I know, right? But I don't think he's quite got the quickness and so I don't know. And then there's the whole thing that we talked about this 5 or 6 months ago probably, but I'll bring up my favorite thing to bring up, which is LaRoche can't hit lefties, right?
Right.
And even though Espinosa's a switch hitter, like we were talking about with Lobatone, Espinosa's much better
right.
as a righty. It's like a 100-point difference. I think it's more than a 100-point difference OPS-wise over his career against lefties than against righties. So let's say you face a tough lefty. If Espinosa's on the team, what you could do is you could sit LaRoche. You could play Zimmerman at first, Rendon
at third. Which I heard that Matt Williams had a conversation, said he wants Ryan to play 15 games, 15 to 20 at first.
He just wants him eligible for fantasy.
Right.
I think the thing is he's got him and Cabrera on his fantasy team, and he doesn't want to start two third base.
I gotcha. Okay.
He does want to. So there's a whole bunch of reasons why Zimmerman should have time at first. I mean.
Yeah, totally. Especially with LaRoche. This is the last deal on LaRoche's deal, right?
And I think he's got an option, but I don't. No, wait, he doesn't have an option. I'm thinking of Soria.
I think he's unrestricted. Yeah,
he's done. So he's got to be gone after this year. Right. I would be shocked if they re-signed him. So, you know, the thought is what to do next year, and letting Zimmerman play second at least gives them the flexibility, even if they don't decide or play first. Gives them the flexibility. You could if. Against a tough lefty, you could have Espinosa play. Now, we also talked about this before. I don't mind, even though Espinosa is the best fielder, for all I care, you could put Espinosa at first or at third and leave Rendon at second just to not sort of upset the apple cart, whatever.
Right.
Now, there's one other thing that I don't know if you saw this, but on MLB.com, and I wrote about this for a little bit, there was a link to an article by – what's his name? I have it in here. I can't remember his name, but I'm going to find it. Hold on. All right, forget it.
And also, while you're looking that up, we also have Scott Harrison to play some first. I don't see why he couldn't.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's a good point because Harrison, I mean, he's been mostly an outfielder, but he's not a small guy. He's decently defensive. I think he had some infield time. Not as much as his brother, but...
Not like Jerry.
Not quite like Jerry. But anyway, so there was an article. His name is Jonathan Bernhardt, who
I haven't heard of that.
Yeah. No. So there's an article. I actually linked to it yesterday in my post, but you know, he talked about some of this and about some of the stuff that we've talked about before with Espinosa playing a role and maybe shuffling Zimmerman to first. But he came up with something that will – I think you'll love this. I think it will absolutely blow your mind.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Zimmerman to second base.
What?
Think about it. That was my initial reaction. But
there's always the conversation about the arm to first from third. Second, you wouldn't have a problem.
And what is he really good at on defense? He's still really good at you know, getting to the ball and fielding.
Very true. Very true.
Moving to the middle infield.
So he goes to second, then who goes to third?
And Rendon? Then you let Rendon play third. Where
that's his natural position, right?
And he's, you know.
Interesting.
They worry about his ankles and injury, and you don't have to worry about takeout slides, or the range doesn't have to be as big. You know, is that really going to happen? No, but. It's kind of a cool thought, and you think about it, it gives them flexibility for next year when they want to acquire somebody to play that other spot.
That is true. Zimmerman would then be the biggest second baseman in the league, right? Is he bigger than Cano? He's got to be.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Cano's a pretty big guy, though. And he might be the slowest second baseman in the league if he did that, but he wouldn't be that much slower than Cano. I mean, when Cano first came up, I kind of had the stereotype of where he was from and what position he played,
right?
And thought he would be fast, and he is not.
Not, no.
But Zimmerman's 6'3", 230.
He's like a linebacker, pretty much.
Cano's listed at 6'0", 210. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know.
That is very interesting. I mean.
Yeah, it's just a cool, like,
thought.
I have serious doubts that would ever happen, but.
Huh.
If Don Mattingly could play shortstop for one inning.
That's right. If Jose Canseco could pitch for one inning.
Vernon Wells played third base last year.
Wow.
So I thought you would like that one.
Yeah, I do. I really do. You're right. That would be really interesting. I love when they change the lineups like that and move around. Yeah. I mean, here's the main thing is that we have a very important utility player, and one of my favorites, and yours, Lambertozzi, is not here anymore. So I think they're looking for that person to fill in those shoes.
Yeah, and a good Danny Espinosa is such
a better player.
Such a better player. So
I hope he's back, man. I hope it was just a fluke that he just something was in his head, something was wrong with the swing, and he's worked it all out. Because, I mean, you remember, 2 years ago, that guy was, you were showing me he was had comparable stats to a Cano.
Well, I mean, I don't think some of his stats, look, he has a good on base, he has a good eye, he strikes out a lot, right. He has good power, he's got pluses and minuses.
He's great power.
You know, he'll never be the best second baseman in the league, but is he easily a top 10 Major League Baseball second baseman, you know, in all of MLB, top 10, top 15 for sure.
Yeah.
If he hits the way he did before 2013. It's a depressed time for hitting for middle infielders, especially. I wrote about this yesterday. You look at what he did. He had a 730 on-base percentage going into last year. Or, sorry, 730 OPS going into last year,
right.
Which is nothing spectacular.
No.
And it includes his entire career in Major League Baseball.
Pretty good then.
And that would have ranked him sixth among MLB shortstops that had more than, like, you know, the top 20 by plate appearances. So it's just – you know, Jeter's old, Nomar's out, A-Rod plays third. Like, the days of great hitting second baseman and shortstops, there will always be four or five in the league. But more and more, we're seeing that, you know, these guys don't hit as much as they used to. Look at Anderson Simmons. He just got a 7-year deal for, like, $60 million. Great deal because
great deal because he hasn't played long enough for us to know that if he's going to be consistent.
He is the best defensive player in baseball.
Hands down, even without us seeing – how many years have we seen him? Two?
He's so good.
Wow.
He's so good. And you know what? He may never hit more than, you know – he may never have more than like around – I mean, I think he's got a little pop.
Not a lot, though.
No, not a lot.
He doesn't need to on that.
His on-base is – He'll be better this year than he was last year. He had he was like a victim of BABIP last year, and you know the batting average from balls in play, and so his average was a little lower than it should have been. But he's one of those guys that he's that good of a fielder.
Wow!
That you lock him up and you're happy, and you go, well, look, we're paying our shortstop $8 million a year, whatever it is, and we have him locked up and we're happy.
But would you rather have a guy like that locked up or a guy like Ian Desmond who has the power?
So if you go by like wins above replacement, Simmons had a better year than Desmond, but I still am a little iffy on all those defensive numbers. I don't know if it underestimates Desmond or if it overestimates Simmons. So I don't know how much I buy the defensive part of WAR. I'd rather have Desmond, who's
same
hitter, and at least he's an average, you know, he's an adequate shortstop.
Plus, I'd love to see the stats of all the six spot hitters. He has to be ranked in the top 10, Ian Desmond, on that six spot hitter.
Well, that's the thing. It's like you get a guy like Simmons in the National League. And it's not as much of a hitter league, but it's like your last two hitters aren't going to be good now.
Right, right.
It's going to be your number 8 and your number 9 hitter.
Right.
And so there's only so much flexibility you have that way. So while I think it was a great move by the Braves, and I love watching him play defense, it's like, yeah, I'd rather have the guy that can hit if he can field. And Desmond can field enough.
He was much better last year than he had been in previous years.
Well, he looks like the real deal now. It's been 2 years in a row.
Yeah. I'm all in on him.
I'm sold.
Yeah, I'm totally sold.
Get that Desmond jersey for me going.
That's right. There was another question I wanted to ask. Okay, so we've talked about infield. We've talked about catching. Let's talk about outfield. Obviously, it's going to be Span, Worth, and Harper, but we've got new faces there now. We've got Nate McLouth, who I could not be happier with as a replacement.
Yeah, I think he's the number four guy. I think he's the clear number four guy.
Oh, clear. You've got an established veteran. He's played on multiple teams. He's played on teams that have been to the playoffs. He's got a little bit of speed. I don't know how much that's going to translate.
Yeah, he can steal bases.
Right. But you're going to get a guy like that. Then we've got Harrison, I think, then is the next guy who's going to obviously be another leader in the outfield. And then we've got the young guy. Tell me a little bit about Yuri Perez.
Well, all right. So first of all, I don't even know if Perez is the next guy on the list.
You don't think so? Interesting.
It could be Tyler Moore. I mean.
Oh, that's right. Because I always consider him as LaRoche's backup. But you're
so
right.
Here, yeah. So I don't know if Moore is going to make the team or not, but he might as a LaRoche backup. Because
he's a righty. That's the only reason.
So like McLouth is the lefty, Hairston's the righty. Mm-hmm. That's your 4 and 5.
Right. I feel like you have to have a Perez, though. He's got the speed.
Well, Perez is a nice guy to have on the team.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Most teams don't carry 6 outfielders, and I think McLouth has enough speed that you give it to him.
But
if Hairston doesn't show up this year, mm-hmm. and you know he didn't look great last year, then it throws it all into question because, all right, do you keep Moore on the roster as your backup for LaRoche, and then all right, so maybe it's Perez, maybe it's Cabernas, maybe it's Moore. Like, who's that fourth outfielder?
Cabernas, I forgot about him because I always see him as going to be the guy that plays third when Zimmerman plays first.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen. I think hopefully if things go well with, there's always questions and maybe it goes back to Espinoza, but if Espinoza can hit, I think anytime you see Zimmerman on first, Espinoza is going to be somewhere in that infield.
Gotcha. Okay.
I would think.
Makes sense. You're right.
And so it leaves Cabernas out,
Yeah.
Cabernas is fast, but he didn't hit. He didn't show he could hit at all last year. So, I'm fine with Cabernas getting minor league at-bats. Yeah, it's a good question. Yes. I mean, I think it starts out with Hairston and Hairston and McLeod. But could that change?
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, so because of the size of the bullpen, you don't have a lot more backup. I mean, there just isn't that much backup, right?
Right.
So you're probably only going to have 5 outfielders. You carry a guy like Moore, and I guess he could be your 6th outfielder / backup infielder.
That's true. That's more valuable.
Unless they fall in love with Zach Walters. I mean, I don't know. Like, something like that could happen.
I mean, right? Let's look at a year ago going into preseason. Yes, we knew about Rendon. Do we think that he would end up being our second baseman?
No chance. But also, Espinoza hit like 320 in spring training. He just stopped working. So, yeah, I mean, I think you can basically get the roster as far as the 8 starters. And throw in Lobatone and McLeod, mm-hmm. and then you have a spot for another infielder and another outfielder, I guess.
Right.
And somewhere in that mix, you would expect to be Hairston and Moore and Perez and maybe Walters. I don't know.
Yeah. The outfield is going to be – because we have the 3 so solid, and it's like those backup positions.
I think McLeod is so solid.
Oh, yeah, I agree. You need to have that veteran guy, too.
They didn't pay him $10 million over 2 years to
– Great contract we got
fight
for
a position. And, I love it because –
Love it.
Does everybody want to pay that? No, but they have the money, so why not get a guy that you're perfectly happy to bring off the bench? Or if somebody gets hurt for a month, you're not like – wringing your hand. You're not doing what they did last year, which is get a full season out of a combination of Cabernas and Lombardozzi and Moore all in the outfield with just like, 210 on base.
Yeah, exactly.
They got 500 at-bats from those guys playing back.
Did they really?
Something like that, yeah. It was so bad. And so to have a guy like McLeod is huge.
Right. All right, so now let's go into the strongest part of our team, the pitching.
We obviously have a guy named Steven Strasburg.
Let's talk about it. He had a minor surgery over the offseason early. He had just, I guess they call it cleaning up his elbow. Is that just getting bone fragments removed? Is that all?
I talk about it.
Okay. No, so I heard from all reports, he's fine. And he's not, he hasn't changed his preparation at all.
I'm going to pretend it didn't happen.
Okay.
Unless something bad happen.
Okay, so he's number one. Number two, are you going Jordan Zimmer or are you going Gio?
Oh, I'll give it to Gio because if you think about the order, they'll probably want to go righty, lefty, righty, lefty.
Well, that was a Davey thing, really, wasn't it?
Well, that was certainly a Davey thing for the lineup. He liked to do righty-lefty, but I think, you know. Okay.
So then Zimmerman, number three.
Yep.
Number four, is this the new guy?
Yep, Doug Fister. He is awesome.
He is awesome. And you know, a great deal I think we signed him for, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people were talking about how it was a steal.
Steal! I loved it. I could not. This was probably, this was like when we signed Gio when everyone was like, oh, yeah, it was a good signing, but, and then he overperformed. I think this is going to be another guy that's going to overperform.
Well, I hope you're right.
Because he's going against other teams number four.
I think you're going to see a lot of, I think you're going to see a lot of Fister uniforms this year.
Yeah. The guy's 6'8".
Do you think because of his name, people buy more uniforms than they would if his name was like Doug Smith?
Oh, yeah. You're going to get those guys who will have Doug Fister and then have a 69.
Right.
Anyway, so here's where it gets tricky. Number five.
Now, so I think they basically said that it's like Detweiler's job to lose, which it should be, right?
Which it should be. I agree. Even though he's coming off a major surgery.
But you know what? Like, if he's healthy, he's healthy. And he showed a lot of signs last year of being like, look, I think when they drafted him, a lot of people thought he was a first-round pick. Yep. And the Nats,
had a great college career.
Well, the Nats weren't the only team that thought he was going to be an ace. But clearly he's not a number one starter. But, I mean, he showed some flashes last year that he could really be something decent. You know, he didn't strike out a lot of guys, no, which scared me.
Put the
me
ball in play.
But maybe, you know, you have a guy like Doug Fister, mm-hmm, who that's all he does. He puts the ball in play. He doesn't strike anybody out. So maybe Detweiler can even learn a little bit from him and, you know, hopefully comes out and does well.
Now, can I throw out names who I think are going to – there are two guys I think are going to contend with him. You tell me what you think. You ready? Number one. Tanner Roark. What do you think?
You know, okay. I wouldn't put him number one, okay, myself.
You wouldn't?
I'm a bigger fan of Jordan than Roark.
Yes, that was the other. Well, there you go. Spoiler. That was my second guy, Taylor.
Well, Roark. Yeah.
Those are the two.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think Ohlendorf is sort of like,
I think he's a mid reliever guy. Really?
Yeah, I think Ohlendorf will be like the emergency starter. Yep. We'll keep him in the bullpen, but yep, he's older, so we don't mind trotting him out there,
right,
if we need an emergency start kind of thing. Whereas both Roark and Jordan are still at the point in their careers where, like, the Nats could hope that things go well and they establish themselves as a solid fourth or fifth starter.
Correct.
Yeah, so you like, who do you like better?
I like Roark better, actually.
Yeah, I like... He came out. Roark came out. It was awesome.
Awesome.
Like a 1.5 ERA. Jordan was not awesome last year. He was, you know, like a 3.5 ERA, which is still really good.
But he had some games where he looked outstanding.
Yeah. The thing I like about Jordan is like a Doug Fister type where he just, like, the ball cannot get in the air when he's playing.
True. True.
So
yeah, those two, I think that's going to be the most interesting, is seeing the competition at that fifth starter, which I agree with you. I think Detweiler does deserve it, and I think as long as he pitches the way he pitched before, I think there's not even going to be a competition. And then it's basically, I think with Jordan and Roark, I think you send them to down, right, and just let them get the innings in.
Exactly. I'm the optimist that thinks that everybody's going to come out healthy. Detweiler's going to be the starter. But at some point this year, somebody's going to go down for 2 weeks.
Right.
And hopefully it won't be that crap that we've seen in the past where somebody goes down, they miss a start, Ohlendorf starts for them, and then they go, no, they'll start their next game. Yeah. And then they miss another one, and Ohlendorf's – like, right, if somebody turns an ankle and they can't, you know, plant on it well, like put him on the DL for 15 days and bring up Jordan or Roark or whatever. Right. That's what I want to see. Okay.
Then I'm on the same exact page of you there.
Excellent.
So now 7, 8, 9, ending 7, 8, and then 9. I'm going with Stayman, Clippard,
the Nightman,
Clippard, and then you would think I would say Storm, but I'm going to stick with my boy Soriano, who came in 15 pounds lighter.
Oh, did he come in? The visa issues are not there this year?
Yeah, that's right.
That's good. So I wrote about this last year, and I'm not going to pull up the article or anything and read from it, but mm-hmm. he lost some zip on his fastball, and you don't have to – we talked about this. You don't have to be Clayton Kershaw to be a good closer. You have to go in it. Most of the time, you're getting three outs with a lead. Most pitchers can do that at least half the time, yeah. and then decent pitchers can do it three-quarters of the time. So it's not that big of a deal to me, but I think he's fading, and I'd rather see Storen do it right
really?
Now.
Really? Even Storen, to start off the season? Like, I'm saying starting off.
I would rather, you know.
I mean, again, isn't it Soriano's job to lose, really, after – I mean, he had a pretty damn good year. How many saves did he have last year?
He had 43 saves. Look, I think you put your best pitcher out there. Here's the only reason why I'm okay with it.
Okay.
Is the position of closer, as most people that read like any of the sabermetric stuff or those kind of guys know, like closer's a little overrated. Mm-hmm. And actually what it often does is it – because people are so tied to the save statistic.
Right.
That it makes managers not play their best reliever when they need to. Like gotcha. It'll be the seventh inning and you'll be up by one or down by one and it's bases loaded and you're trying to keep the game close. Mm-hmm. Nobody would ever put Mariano Rivera in at that point.
Right.
You put in your second best reliever.
Right.
And so if you have a guy like Storen, maybe Storen will be their best reliever. Now, I don't know that he is, and we have to see what happens in the spring and see how he actually does. But if Storen looks anything like he did towards the end of last year when he came back.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
– he was.
Not that bad to have that guy floating around and being able to use him whenever you want, mm-hmm. Which is kind of like a role that Clippard used to have.
Right.
Clippard could probably tell you that he deserves to be the closer, and he'd have a really good argument.
He does have a great argument. But I just love him in that hold position.
You just love the untuck on Soriano.
I do love the untuck.
Yeah,
no, but I think it's encouraging that he's 15 pounds lighter. That obviously means he had a hell of an offseason and really is taking the end of his career seriously because – I mean, he's a veteran and 2 years younger than us, which is – or
well,
a year younger than us.
Yeah, well.
Which is depressing. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's his job to lose.
Well, the thing about it is, if I'm not mistaken, his actual contract, he gets an extension depending on how many games he finishes.
Interesting.
So, now the Nats may be in that situation where – they don't really want him to get the extension.
That's true.
But,
no, we don't. That's a lot of money.
But they can't not – they can't sort of sit him and not expect people to be pissed.
Right.
And so I don't know the details, and I don't know if it's true, so don't quote me on it. But if it is the case, Rizzo's not in a position to just, like, tell Soriano he's not the closer anymore. Yeah, his 2015 option is guaranteed, $14 million club option. It's guaranteed if he finishes 120 games last year and this year.
That's a lot of games.
Last year he finished 58 games as the full-time closer.
So he has to do more than he did last year, just a little bit more. So wow, that's going to be hard. And I thought he had plenty of appearances.
I really don't want that to happen, and hopefully it won't. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's fading, in my opinion. If they pay him $14 million next year, that's just such a waste. But Rizzo's sort of in between a rock and a hard place because when you want to sign future free agents, you can't do something just be like, sorry, Soriano, you're not the closer anymore.
Right.
Now, Rizzo may be waiting for him to have a couple bad games and then be like, we're really not comfortable with him closing. Mm-hmm. That could be a possibility.
Right.
But I think you're right in that he really is going to start the season as the closer.
Yeah, I think it. But, I mean, this is such a – I mean, if you look at this bullpen – it's pretty much similar to last year. There's not really a lot of new faces in there.
Well, there is one.
Oh, is that your boy?
I'm pretty excited about Blevins.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He is the new guy.
So Jerry Blevins, you know, they thought – they went into last year and they said, well, we don't really need a sort of lefty reliever because we got guys that can get lefties out. And they're right. They don't, except they didn't have enough guys that could get lefties out.
Yeah, exactly.
So, look, Blevins is a guy that is definitely better against lefties, but he's a good all-around pitcher. Like, he could pitch the eighth inning if they wanted him to.
Wow, I'm looking at his stats for the last 2 years, and he is a heck of a pitcher here.
Yeah, so his career...
His whip is what impresses me. Good Lord.
So he's been... His career, he's actually had more, appearances against righties. Now, that's because in a typical inning, if you keep him in for a whole inning, you're going to usually face more righties.
Right, obviously.
But he hasn't been like that lefty one-out guy. But his OPS against lefties is 636. Hmm. Righty's OPS against him is 711, which is not...
That's not terrible at all.
Yeah, that's not too bad. Still pretty low on the power, a little higher on base. So, you know, he's better against lefties, which makes sense because he's a lefty. But he's not bad against righties. So they really have four guys that they could probably feel comfortable pitching a whole inning late.
Oh, that's great.
Which means, you know... One
so
of the
that takes
that
a lot of pressure off Stamen.
Or if Clipper turns into a pumpkin this year because everybody's waiting for it.
Then he becomes the hold guy.
Well, it's just like one, you know, you could put.
Or the left, he's the lefty hold guy, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just if you have an eighth inning coming up and you have two lefties out of the three hitters, maybe you sit Clipper that day. And maybe Clipper doesn't need to make 70 appearances next year.
Right.
And you put Blevins in. Right. And if it's not, you know, put Blevins in the seventh. Like, you know, this team had a problem last year with the starting pitchers not going far enough, not going long enough into games. Mm-hmm. And so getting a guy like Blevins, it's just another guy that you feel confident. Now they really do have four guys between Stammen and Clippard and Storen and Soriano.
Wow, such a great bullpen.
I should say five guys.
Who's your fifth?
Well, that's what I'm saying. They have Stammen, who they probably feel pretty comfortable with after last year,
yeah,
right?
Right.
They have Soriano. They have Clippard. They have Storen. And now they have Blevins.
Wow.
So that's five. I mean, who else? What do you have left? You're going to have an Ohlendorf in there as a long reliever.
Right, right.
How many pitchers? That's six.
Yeah.
Throw in the five.
Ryan
stars.
Mattis. What about
that's
him?
That's 11. Yeah, Matthews.
Matthews, probably. I always get that.
Matthews had such a bad year last year. I don't know what they're going to do with him. But
yeah, I'm worried about him making the team.
I know.
I mean, he's also another righty. Do they really need it?
Well, you know, it's always good to have – this is how the roster's constructed, right? I mean, there's always that many.
Well, here's my question. Do you want a Ryan Matthews or would you rather Christian Garcia?
What are they doing with Christian Garcia?
I don't know, man, but I mean, that guy can throw.
Yeah, except I don't know.
Yeah.
Is he even reporting to camp? I don't know what his
I don't know what his situation is. He'll probably end up he had an injury thing, didn't he? Something going on with him.
Yeah, but they were turning him from a starter to a reliever.
Right, right.
He was kind of looking good.
Hey, the Yankees knew something about him back in the day. I don't know.
Yeah.
Here's my question. Bryce Harper question of the show. Bryce Harper, third year, is plus or minus 25 home runs. What do you think?
Plus.
Really? Even though he's never even hit 25?
Plus. Give me plus.
I hope you're right. They say he looks bigger.
It's not even the muscle thing for me. It's
you think it's just putting it all together?
It's his third year. He's a great player. He was hurt last year.
Yeah, the knee thing what was it, a bursa sack or something?
Running into a wall. I mean, a million things happened to him last year. I think this year he's going to be just.
Now, what about, all right, how about batting average? Do you think plus or minus 280?
You know, I think that's probably a pretty good number for him. So you sound like Vegas because you're giving me like right where I'd put
money. I know, exactly. Because those are the numbers where it's like, okay, plus or minus 25 home runs because he really hasn't hit that spot. All right, this is the big one for me. And I think this is something we need to improve on as a whole Nats team, plus or minus 100 RBIs.
Yeah, I think he'll get it because, I mean, if he's healthy all year, it depends on the team
if we're going to be scoring lots of runs, really.
I think we will be. I really do. I mean, I think it was going to happen last year. If you look at the way they played at the sort of last 2 months of last year, they had everybody healthy. And they were scoring runs, and Span was doing enough. Span wasn't great, but he was doing enough.
He was doing enough, especially at the end of the year.
Get on base, and then after him, once everybody was healthy, and you actually had the lineup after Span of, in no particular order, Worth, Harper, Zimmerman, Desmond, Ramos.
Wow.
LaRoche. Because LaRoche
Rendon.
Still hitting. Rendon. I mean, that's a run-scoring team. That's going to be a top, you know, five offense in the National League.
Who would you say will be – these are just predictions I'm just throwing. I mean, we could do this next show, but MVP, offensive MVP for us.
Oh, let's save – let's not do spoilers on that. Let's save that for next
Let's save it. Yeah, that's true. That is a good thing. Good thing to do.
I have the I have the email from David Nichols, who writes for District Sports Page. He sends out a survey on the – DC Internet Baseball Writers preseason survey, which has all those questions.
Oh, good. All right. That's what our next show is.
And we'll answer all of those on the next show.
Anything else?
I'm ready for some baseball.
I'm ready for some. My one thing to everyone out there who's listening, yes, we're focused on Nets, but I want to say if you have a chance to go see Derek Jeter this year, you should definitely go do it. I mean, you're getting to see a guaranteed Hall of Famer, and this is his last year.
Yeah.
Go to the park and see a Hall of Famer play.
We talk about this. We might have talked about this the last show, but he's one of those people, like, I just love seeing guys that you get to tell your grandkids that you saw play.
Yeah.
That's what I like to think about. And we might have some of those guys on this team with Strasburg and Harper.
True.
That they'll go, wow, you saw those guys play. But, like, Jeter is definitely
their Jeter has
guys.
Already done it in his career. And how many people out there have even have the career or even wish to have the career that he had?
And if he has a good year this year, he can finish fifth all-time in hits.
Wow!
Fifth all-time in hits. If he, I think he needs like 199 or 198 hits this year, which is at the high end, and there's no guarantee that he'll get there. But he will at least be like, with a healthy year, he'll at least finish the season like seventh in hits.
Wow.
All-time.
So, definitely one of the best players of our generation. I mean.
No doubt.
Oh. Unbelievable. So, yeah, that's my one advice to everyone out there. I don't know. We played the Yankees last year at home because I went. I don't know. I haven't taken a look at the schedule.
Go up to Baltimore and see him play.
Yeah, but go to Baltimore if you're in this area.
And then you can see Ubaldo play.
Have fun with that.
I thought it was a good signing for them.
Do you really?
It's not a big deal.
It's not Colorado, Ubaldo.
Well, maybe he'll find that license plate with his name on it that he's been looking for.
But anyway, everyone, head over to thenationalreview.com and check out all the stories that we have there and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and leave us some comments there so we know what you think. And, of course, you can always communicate with us on Twitter. I'm at Culmination.
I'm at National Review.
Yeah, and we're really, really excited. And like we said, next episode we're going to do some, I don't know, some preseason predictions on the year. And, of course, we'll talk more baseball. We hope to see you at the park.
See you at the park, Cole.
You can force it back.